Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock, got Melissa and James here with you. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
And we are joined right now by our good friend, Rock Larson. Rock, of course, is Wood County Veteran Services Officer. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, James. Nice to meet you.
Yes, Melissa, you too, Rock.
Mel.
I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you being here, Rock, especially a little bit earlier time for you than usual. We usually talk to you like in Morning Magazine or something like that. So appreciate the time and certainly appreciate being able to discuss a little bit more in detail the Veterans Toxic Exposure Symposium. This is taking place with two sessions tomorrow at McMillan Library here in Wisconsin Rapids. There'll be a session at 2 and a session at 6. Rock, first off, before we dive into this, how you doing? How you been?
Good. A load has been lifted off me. I was our state association president last year, and that ended. We had over 111 CVSOs, TVSOs, and staff at McMillan or at the Mead Inn for our fall conference where we did a week-long training. Mm-hmm. And now I'm no longer. I'm the past president. I still advise the current, the new regime, but my email traffic will drop.
You've passed the torch.
And the phone calls, and I can get back now to diving into to reaching out to our veterans and their surviving families on toxic exposure.
So it's well earned and deserved, that bit, a little bit off your plate. But I know you, and as you just got done saying, you're also going to fill that plate up with stuff like this, which we greatly appreciate, Rock, and nobody more than our veterans out there and the people that need somebody to speak up for them, need somebody to share this information for them. There's so much, you know this better than any of us here in this room, at least, that understand what this means. Having events like this, how important they are. I wanted to get into a couple of things with you about it, but let's go over the basics. Who should be attending this symposium? Who do you think is in need? What do you think people need to know about the symposium going into it?
Well, it does all sorts of things for various eras of veterans. I mean, it's dramatic change for the Vietnam era veteran because it adds Thailand, American Samoa, Johnson's Atoll, and Guam, Laos, Cambodia, to the Agent Orange presumptive list. So it used to be just Vietnam, the DMZ, and if you could prove you were on the base perimeter in Thailand. And we've had many over the years that have been denied. So all those presumptive illnesses that were due to Agent Orange are now presumptive for someone stationed in Thailand. Mm-hmm. Or for someone who passed away because of those illnesses and their surviving spouse. So, I mean, there's huge there. It expands the Southwest Asian, what is considered Southwest Asia. It adds a bunch of places like Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Israel. So adds all them, adds some presumptive diseases to that, removes the fact that those diseases, for all the people that were previously eligible, removes that it has to manifest to a 10% compensable level within a certain time period. In fact, I just had a veteran in June denied his asthma because it didn't manifest till after 10 years that he was in theater. Well, now his appeal is already in. Not appeal, but it's called a supplemental claim. Yeah. Is already in. It adds a couple places to the atomic veterans.
Okay.
I'm going to butcher the name of this island. Iwatak Island Atoll, which is where they did some testing, nuclear testing in the Pacific. And they basically sent a bunch of servicemen there to clean it up, bulldoze the toxic radioactive ground into the center of the atoll, and then capped it with this big concrete dome. But they said, no, you were protected and all this. And in fact, this spring, we lost a veteran here in Wood County. Unfortunately, he doesn't not have a surviving spouse to apply benefits, but he had a ton of health illnesses. Mm. In addition to that, they add two Thule Air Force Base, the ones that responded to a bomber incident up there, and Palermas. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but if you were there, you knew you were responding to some nuclear bombs that were compromised also in Spain. Mm. So it adds those. And then, of course, most of you have probably heard all the advertising for the Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm. And the big message there is don't do anything with any of those attorneys until you talk to a CVSO or their staff. For some people, it might be right.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, and if it is right, don't go after one of these that's advertising, because they're spending over $1 billion so far on advertising this, and they want up to 70% of your claim of anything. Jeez. You win, and then you may or may not, if you go back to the VA, have to pay that back before you get any benefit from the VA. But there are certain cases, like if a veteran's terminal, or perhaps for family members or someone who worked there wasn't actually in the military, because those come under different. This is actually a federal tort claim.
Okay.
For compensation, but these, you can find a reputable attorney that might only take 25%. But if you answer the first phone call, they have to pay for that advertising somewhere, and it's 70% of your dime.
Mm-hmm.
That's criminal.
The tort, I did not know that part. Are really helpful. Also helpful, just discussing this part of the symposium and talking about this. We talk a lot about scam artists, and usually we're looking out for our seniors, for the people that they take advantage of so often and everything. Our veterans are in that group.
Definitely.
I don't think we think of that very often. That's a really
especially our senior veterans and the surviving spouses. There's a pension program with the VA, and there are some people in the area that will add, and they go to the assisted living and whatever, and they say, well, I'll help you do this, and this. Oh, and then we'll also do this for you. And it's not in their contract, because at that level they're not allowed to charge for filing for VA services. You have to be an accredited representative at the entry level to do that. It's only when you get to the Court of Appeals that you should have an attorney or pay somebody to process your. And I've read their contracts, but there are people that come to our office after spending $1,200-$1,300 and going, getting nowhere, and not understanding the program. And whenever. You're already paying for my office's services when you pay your property tax. We're local employees of the county government. We don't work for the VA. We work for the county, and we work for our veterans and their families, and we're free. Yeah. So, you can always, after you didn't spend any money with us, well, this isn't going anywhere. I'm going to go to somebody. I'm going to go pay somebody. But a free lunch before you pay somebody,
it's a good place to start.
It's a great place to start. And sometimes we'll tell you, we can't do anything. Maybe you should. And that's where we're going to be talking my staff. And we just, one of the things brought up is a veteran in another county is terminal. So he's going to file his lawsuit, hopefully get his money up front for his family, and seeing he won't be around to apply for VA benefit, that money won't be then removed from his compensation.
Hmm.
And this is something that you guys will be discussing during the symposium of how to handle that. Okay. And what to keep an eye out for when it comes to those things. Again, we're speaking with Rock Larson. He is the Wood County Veteran Services Officer. Rock, I want to touch on, and I don't mean to keep you too long, sir, but I do want to touch on burn pits with you a bit. It's not a Agent Orange has become common in our dialect, in our dictionaries and all that from the Vietnam era. Burn pits are one of those things that has not gotten to that place yet. Is there anything that you feel the audience out there that has not heard of burn pits or does not know what they are, what they should know of them?
Well, a burn pit is basically a dump that includes almost anything from, we've heard that there have been body parts. There's been human waste. There's been plastics, metals, all sorts of
hazardous materials.
Right. And they burn it.
Yeah.
And it's not in a controlled incinerator. It's an open pit. They just burn it because it's the most expedient way, or was the most expedient way, to get rid of stuff. What they're looking at currently is presumptive service connected for someone who was affected by burn pits. Head cancer of any type, neck cancer of any type, respiratory cancers, gastrointestinal cancers, reproductive cancers of any type, lymphoma or lymphomatic cancers of any type, kidney cancer, brain cancer, melanoma, pancreatic cancer, asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, constrictive bronchiolitis or obliterative bronchiolitis, and I'd have to Google that to figure out what the difference is, emphysema, gastrointestinal disease, interstellar lung disease, pleuritis, pulmonary fibrosis, sarcoidosis, chronic sinusitis, chronic rhinitis, glioblastoma, and then any other disease which the secretary decides to add, because part of the whole PACT Act is it sets up also ways that the VA has to look at research and then what it needs to do with that research.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just what now, after right. 20, 30 years of burn pit, kind of what's going on in the distant future. And also, you know, it sets up a bunch of studies, and, you know, the VA is the largest health network in the world, and they have, you know, data.
Right.
So this is part of this is setting up that we're going to take that data, we're going to look at veterans and their toxic exposure, and you know, it's got special parts that deal with jet fuel. They're going to look at aviation fuel.
It's a big one.
Fort McClellan, Alabama, which I was stationed at twice, briefly for like 2 or 3 months each time for a school. I mean, you'd be walking through the woods and there'd be real live signs saying contaminated area. And we walk through the woods a lot because that's what Army guys like to do, and gals. So there's so much in this bill. So it's not just for today. It's what for the VA, and sets them up to resource and to study and to add presumptive illnesses going forward in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it also changes, rights so many wrongs for veterans who were toxically exposed in the past. And my job then is to scour Wood County and track those people down. And I'm especially worried about, you know, the veterans that were denied in the past or never came to it because, well, I can't prove I was on the perimeter of the fence in Thailand, so they're just going to deny me anyway. And finding their widows. So that's what we're...
Before I let you go, Rock, and again, thank you so much for the time. It's people, our brains work a certain way. I hear there is a problem. I hear something that should have been being done years ago is not being done. So I need to blame somebody. I need somebody to blame. Who do I blame? And the low-hanging fruit is insurance companies or the government or something like that. I think that's understandable human instinct, but then I hope that you are an adult and you can do some digging and some research and find out where it needs to be, really, and where accountability really does lie. And maybe it does lie in those places, maybe it doesn't, but that's all here or there. I'm more focused on making sure these things don't happen again and doing something for our veterans right now. How much, in your opinion, is we just didn't know certain things, didn't know any better, and how much of it is we just didn't care? We just didn't do enough for our soldiers? Because I think
I think some people care, but then also all this comes with a big price tag.
Right.
I mean, it's a big price tag, directing the VA to do this, resourcing the VA to respond to it. There's special provisions in the bill that gives the VA exceptional programs to recruit and retain say, medical professionals, because mm-hmm. this, you know, and we all know that medical professionals are high premium right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everyone's trying to buy your provider away from your company and put them in somebody else. Mm-hmm. Happens with the VA too. So they've got a lot of stuff in there to do this. But I talk to legislators, both state and federally, a lot. You know, the bottom line is there's a price tag. There's a weight, you know, mm-hmm. right and wrong cost. Cost is part of that formula. You know, and part of it was we got behind the with the Gulf War veterans. You know, they denied this whole Gulf War syndrome forever, and they weren't, you know, they did the ostrich bit. We'll just put our head in the sand.
Yeah.
And if we don't actively explore it, then it doesn't happen, and right. we don't have to respond to it. But this bill rights that wrong. It sets stuff up that the VA has to do. I mean, the PACT Act, which is actually the Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson Honoring Our Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act, that's a mouthful, is actually a bunch of separate bills that were introduced and then rolled up into like an omnibus. And it truly is a reflection on our times. And we've got hard times going on in the world and in the nation, but they stepped up government at its worst and best, finally compromised and mm-hmm. came up with this. And the system isn't perfect, but it's trying to work.
Yeah, and I think that's a great answer.
This is where it shows that it can work, and I'll do my served your country for 26 years, you know, so you have the right to go out and make your choice and vote, so please do that next month.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
And then who should come to this symposium?
People who should come to this symposium. Of course, almost any veteran. Mm-hmm. Someone who has maybe a loved one who has passed and has, but they still know that the family's out there and could struggle. And that's why we've got it at both, too, for all of the people, you know, my age that should be retired but love their jobs right, so right. they continue to work. Mm-hmm. So they can come in the afternoon. But then we also wanted to have it for most of the Southwest Asian veterans. You know, they could be just out of service last month.
Yeah.
And 6 o'clock, so even as someone who works a shift work or whatever, should be able to make one or the two. If you can't, if somebody, or if you hear about it after the fact, we're in the courthouse. We're also at Wood County Annex up in the Norwood Complex. Mm-hmm. So come and see us. If you're hearing this and you live in another county, every county has a CVSO. I gave presentation on the PACT Act last week to all the CVSOs. Mm-hmm.
Did a nice job from what I saw, too.
And hopefully we're going to get pretty much a similar, but, you know, not watered down, but focused. Change mm-hmm. the focus mm-hmm. from those of us who are advocating and looking at exactly what's going to happen and how we can fit into that over the next couple decades. Not me, because I'm not going to be here. And how to better serve our veterans and provide that. I'll be starting to research. I'm thinking I'll start. We've got our files in the office, and we've looked at one file cabinet. We've got 28 others. That's mm-hmm. just in our Rapids office. I'll go to the Register of Deeds, and I think I'm going to look at all the discharges that we've recorded over the years since the Vietnam era. Mm. You know,
wow.
And that way I can make a list of people that maybe we should be sending a letter to, see if I can find them. And I've got resources to find them. Because what they don't know, they don't know.
Right.
If they don't identify, you know, they've got those couple years of service, and they put it behind them, and now they're busy in their employment, their business, their family. or whatever.
I'm in a military family, and half the so much of this stuff I only learned because I watched Jon Stewart. I mean, there's certain things that even in military families, they're not aware of certain things. So that's part of why, another part of why these symposiums are important. Another one, it sheds light on something. I don't know if the audience catches this or not. Wherever you listen to us, wherever your city has a county services, a veteran services office, chances are, and especially from the homework I've seen, most of the people working in those places are like yourself, Rock. They are veterans themselves. Once again, veterans helping veterans and doing so much of the heavy lifting here. This is where the rest of us, especially those that didn't serve, this is an opportunity for you to serve those who did serve. My grandfather, when he would talk, who was a Marine, and when he would talk about, he didn't serve in Vietnam, he was in World War II and in Korea, but he would talk about these kids coming home from Vietnam and talking about that Agent Orange and these things, and I can see it right now. His face when he would look down at me, and he told me how, Jimmy, a soldier understands that this, what can happen, that my life could end for freedom. I understand that. I signed up for that. I get that. They don't sign up for these things that are self-inflicted wounds oftentimes that our own government can put on them or different situations can. This isn't blame thing again. It's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying that this is where we can pull some of the heavy lifting. We can do some of the stuff. You guys have done enough. This is on the rest of us. I want Rock to be able to retire. I want Rock to, I mean, these things. But it's hard for you guys to be able to do that because who's going to fight for you guys if you're not doing it, you know? And so that's where we got to start stepping up. We got to start doing that. And going, spreading the word about these things, learning more about Agent Orange, burn pits, these things. This is part of one of the things that can help. There's other ways, there's other things you can do, but having some knowledge and understanding creates empathy, and that is a big thing that we've been missing a lot with our veterans, is having a little more of that. That's another great one here, but so much more that will be discussed and important details going on tomorrow at the Veterans Toxic Exposure Symposium at McMillan Library. That's at 409 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You guys have two sessions, I see, 2 and 6, Rock?
Yes.
If people want to find out more about this or have any other questions, how can they reach you?
Call us at the courthouse. Please don't email me. I'm just kidding. You can email me, but 715-421-8420. There's three of us in the courthouse and one up in Marshfield, and our sole job is to try to make the lives better of the veterans and their families and their surviving dependents if they were to have passed.
Greatly appreciate the time, Rock, and everything you do. We'll talk again real soon.
All right. Always a pleasure.
Take care. Thank you, too. We will go ahead and go to Melissa's news right now, and then we'll come back. We got some Danny Wright stories, good stories, entertainment news, all kinds of things coming up for you right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everyone. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a good day. Touching on a little bit of entertainment news real quick. George Strait's got a new show, a new concert he just announced. He's doing 6 stadium shows next summer.
Really?
Which is just cool to say, you know, George Strait's still touring, George Strait's still doing this, you know, that's cool. Adding on that, he's bringing Chris Stapleton and Little Big Town along as openers.
Oh.
The concerts are spreading over 4 months, beginning in May and wrapping up in August. I was trying to take a look and see if there was anything near us here. And just double checking again real quick because it wouldn't come up. Yeah, and it's still not a request denied. So I don't know if they're already out of tickets or they just haven't officially gone on sale yet or not. Mm. You can sign up for pre-sale access at georgestrait2023presale.com. But that's the link I went to, and it's already kind of shut down, it looks like. And this news, like, it just broke overnight. So like most concert tickets, especially if you needed a sign that people want to see this. So, yeah.
They're probably going to go fast.
Huge. Now, I'm not saying this like they're doing something like they're doing charity here by any means. Mm-hmm. But I do want to give a special shout out to Chris Stapleton and Little Big Town. They're two bands, an artist and a band that can tour just fine on their own and do stadium tours and all that. Mm-hmm. You see the respect in that to they have for George Strait. Did I get to open for George Strait? Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, I think that's really cool to see modern artists who are very well established already. And they're like, yeah, I'll open for you. I mean, opening acts are usually a band who they just came out with a hit single or they're new or something like that. These are very well-established bands.
Right. They usually don't recognize the names of the opener bands as often.
First real concert I went to, I saw Kiss in Madison. The opening band was a band called Outhouse, and it was fitting. It was very fitting. I have not heard of them since. This is not the norm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Pretty cool news going on, and this is coming with a little bit of a spoiler alert to it. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, especially if you are anxious to see the new Black Adam movie.
Okay.
And you don't want any spoilers, you should probably, you know, maybe earmuffs. Maybe you know, just dip out for about a minute here. That's it. Mm-hmm. So big news over the weekend broke with the Black Adam coming out, and Black Adam did incredibly well in the box office. So we'll see how...
Not really surprised.
Yeah. It's week two that everybody's focused on, so we'll see how that happens. They may have done themselves a huge favor here. Henry Cavill is officially back by playing Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge to people. He's played him in the last couple of movies, and people liked him as Superman. But he wasn't under contract. And he's kind of like, in social media-wise, he's been very busy with The Witcher and things like that. So it seemed like he kind of moved on. The Rock signed up to play Black Adam and to go into the superhero world. But he did it with catches. He has certain clout as an actor. He's the Rock.
Well, yeah,
so
he can.
And while your star is up that high, you can kind of have a little more. He said he wanted Superman in his movie, in the post-credit scene specifically. And not just the logo, not just a guy in black, you know, or in the shadows that you don't get to see his face and stuff, because that's what Warner Brothers wanted, because they were not positive that Henry would be back. The Rock reached out to Henry Cavill, talked with him, Cavill, I think it is. I always mispronounce it. And those two went to Warner Brothers and said, look, this is going to happen or I'm not doing this. Wow. I won't even sign the contract. So before anything was even put in paper or anything like, or put in print, anything like that, this discussion was had and set. And they sat on this that long. 3-4 years they sat on that. Or I should say 2-3 years. But still, sat on that in this day and age, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool that The Rock did this, if you ask me. Like, actors don't have a lot of control or a lot of power on these projects, these million-dollar projects.
Right.
The fact that he had that clout, I kind of think that's cool. Some people might think that's egotistical or other things, and I'm not begrudging you, you know, whatever your thoughts are on it. As an actor, obviously biased about this, I love seeing these things. I think it's cool, and it shows that he gets it.
Right.
This movie needs that stuff. DC needs that stuff. They can't almost afford not to have it. So if I'm a Black Adam, if I'm a DC fan, if I'm a superhero fan, and I didn't get to see Black Adam the opening week, this story is making rumblings. Mm-hmm. This story is going on. So all of a sudden, maybe I do want to go see it now. And all of a sudden, those week two numbers are killer. They're a lot better than they are. I already saw it. Yeah, I don't need to see it. Or, you know what, I'll see it when it comes out on streaming or something like that. This is going to get people in theaters quicker, more. DC needs that in spades, so...
Well, and they got weather working in their favor, too. Last weekend, the weather was beautiful around here.
Yeah.
This weekend, maybe not so great.
Great
More
point.
People might go to the movies.
That's a really good point. just one more quick entertainment story I wanted to touch on, real, because this is just kind of funny, I think, actually. It's actually, to me, kind of a good story of the day. Some people might think it's a that ain't right story. I don't know.
Okay.
This is one way to get on TV. A 42-year-old Kentucky man named Joseph Nally got to play a corpse on CSI Vegas after playing dead on TikTok for nearly a year. For 321 days, Nally auditioned for a part by posting pictures and videos of himself on TikTok, pretending to be dead in various places and locations.
Okay.
Someone connected with the show saw what he was doing, and they flew him out to Hollywood, made him up as a dead body, and he nailed it.
Wow. That's kind of awesome.
Really, isn't it? One of the producers says, quote, "Rarely do we find an actor as well prepared to play a corpse as Josh." It was a pleasure watching him work. He's a pro at this whole dead thing. That's an actual quote from one of the producers.
Wow.
Nally will be on episode 6 of CSI Vegas on November 3rd. To be fair, there is a talent to this.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to play dead on stage?
In a comedy. Okay. So not actually dead. She rose from the dead, so she wasn't actually dead. But
I had a similar thing, but it was in a dark comedy. But I wasn't technically dead, although the actor in the audience thought I was.
Right.
I was just
similar
unconscious.
Thing. Mm-hmm.
I actually Steve Martin. I have to. There's a Steve has to move me around as a dead body, and I could not stop my arms from not being limp. And it took forever for me to get used to being limp. And let him do this.
Let him do it. Yeah, it's hard.
One of the funniest things I'll ever be a part of in my life was that scene. And Steve nailed it. Steve was so good. All I got to do is play dead. Mm-hmm. Steve nailed the whole thing, flipping me around all over the place, and everything was great.
Those scenes are the best. I got to rise from the dead.
That's cool.
Partner on stage thought I was dead, so that was good.
That's a fun. I haven't gotten to do that. But the whole, I think, as most people could imagine, then your lungs not moving up as you're laying down on your back and not seeing the audience, not being able to see that, or your nostrils flaring because you're breathing. Because even though, again, they're playing pretend, they're not really dead.
Not really dead. You still gotta breathe.
I've heard many stories where there are extras that just can't nail this.
Mm.
So that's why and it's not the only reason, but a lot of the times why you'll see, like, you're watching The Walking Dead or some zombie apocalypse movie, and most of the dead bodies are face down. It's because there's so many people that can't do this. They're not like Josh. They're not a pro at this and everything. So that's kind of fun. Just a little inside kind of back of the story kind of thing. It's interesting. I think this is great. I don't think this is something that you could say, like, it's worked once. I don't know if it'd work a second time.
Probably not. But he put the work in to get that part. He really did.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
If I'm an actor, I was going to say if I'm an actor auditioning for that particular role, but any role, and somebody beats me out for, and this is the, and I find this out. Credit to you, man. Credit to you. Nicely done.
Good
on you. It's a competitive game. It's one of the it's easily the most competitive thing I've ever been a part of, ever will be a part of. And I come from a sports family and a political family. And it's easily the most competitive. But even with that being said, credit, tip your hat, man.
When somebody deserves it or earns it, you know, you can't negate that.
You could be the best hitter in the world, but you come up against a guy who's got a 99 mile an hour fastball that curves or something like that, like, you just gotta tip your hat sometimes, like, you got me. I'm sorry, you got me. Take a break. We'll come back into some that ain't right stories, some good stories of the day. Plenty more coming up for you right here at Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, 9:46 on the clock. And I got a couple of other things we can get into here, Melissa, that I thought would be pretty fun to do.
Okay.
So first up, that ain't right story. I know it's Halloween, but what is it that about giant skeletons that make people want to take them, steal them? I think most of us have seen these by now. They got really popular last Halloween, and they're pretty just as popular now. Like these 13-foot skeleton decorations that are out front in people's front lawns and
like
everything.
The inflatable ones, or
There's been a rash of people stealing these. The 14-foot skeleton decoration was stolen from a home in Texas last Saturday in broad daylight at 4:45 in the afternoon. The thief was caught on surveillance footage, and the suspect appears to be a woman with red hair. An SUV pulls up to the skeleton. The back is opened. The person gets out, awkwardly shoves it inside. Then the video online cuts off. But one report says that the thief leisurely dismembered the skeleton so that it would fit. The owners are offering a $50 reward for the return of the skeleton.
Wow.
A couple weeks ago, someone was caught on video stealing the arm off a 12-foot skeleton decoration. It's unclear if the thief was ever caught, but the bar does have a replacement arm from a couple who donated pieces from a similar decoration they had that was damaged by a storm.
Hmm. Well, nice of them to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an obvious that ain't right story. I mean, you know, stealing from people's front lawns and things. It does also make me, and I completely admit that I'm reaching a little bit here, but it does also bring up a conversation that I've had in recent weeks and that I've seen news reports about people stealing political signs or damaging political signs. You've heard me on the airwaves here talk about this. There's certain stuff out there that looks cultish more than voting, you know, or promoting who you're voting for. It looks a little cult-like to me. And that stuff is here or there, and I'm not a big fan of that stuff at all. My opinion does not matter. It's not my front lawn.
Right.
It's theirs.
It's your freedom of speech. You can put what you want on your lawn.
Would I like my fellow Americans, my fellow citizens here to maybe not have signs that have F words on them and things like that, so little kids don't see that stuff and everything? Yeah, I think that'd be really cool of them. But I'm not going to tell them not to do it. I'm not going to tell them what to do with their lawn. It's their lawn.
Yep.
As long as they are not breaking any laws, it's okay. I want to bring this up with Sheriff Becker, and I'd like to get his take on this, because this is something that isn't going to go away and unfortunately may even increase in the blazonness of it. And part of the reason is because there is not a lot of accountability for it. For one, it's hard to catch people. And two, once you do catch them, it's not a huge...
It's usually a misdemeanor.
It may not be enough of a deterrent.
Yeah.
Now, one of the sneaky things, and I've talked with Senator Teston about this in depth, one of the sneaky things, you want to bring down crime. Oh, raising bail bonds. That ain't going to do it.
No.
I can tell you, for a matter of fact, statistically, or just from my own world that I used to come from and live from and grew up in, that don't work. No criminal in human history has ever been like, I was going to rob that bank, but I saw they raised the bail bonds and everything, so now I ain't going to do that. No. But one thing they do... They raised how much certain criminals are going to commit crimes no matter what. You're always going to have that. But there are the, as strange as it may sound, the thinking criminal. This is where a lot of scam artists live and that kind of thing. Those cowards. Most of your criminal like that, most of your criminal, your everyday criminal, is paying attention to this stuff. They made a big sign of this is when they changed the laws of what is attempted murder. If you shoot somebody below the waist, it is not considered as the laws are different by state. But just giving a you know, kind of blanket at this and everything, it's different if your intention is you're directly shooting lower than upper. There's a difference of intent. There's a difference in the sentence
less
and all that.
Less of a chance of them dying.
Need to be doing something like that in other sections of our society. Child molesters, a big example. Like, the laws need to be upgraded on that. We need heavier penalties on those things. Maybe we need, I'm not saying they're the same worlds by any means, but maybe you need heavier penalties on people messing with other people's stuff. Maybe that's something that'll do it. Whatever it takes to kind of deter this stuff. We got to get better as a society about it. You don't want somebody coming to your lawn and doing it. You don't want anybody telling you what to do with your lawn. Don't do that to other people. I'm sorry if they live right across the street from you and it's an offensive sign and you don't like it. Maybe have a discussion with them. Be
maybe
adults.
Talk to them about it.
Yeah, maybe be adults about it. I understand that there is the other factor of knucklehead teenagers. I was one of them. I completely get that. I'm not talking about that. That's a whole other subject. Now, you can incorporate that with this as far as like making heavier penalties, heavier fines. I'm not saying you lock these people away like for 100 years or anything.
No, but how about some community service hours?
Things like that. Make them put back into their community.
Yeah.
I think that you I don't want to say it solves the problem by any means, but it's going to help. It is going to be a big help. I mean,
a lot of times I think that we need to look at the underlying causes of why these things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, we're talking about petty theft here, which is a misdemeanor. You're trespassing. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. All of those things are wrong, but in the broad scheme of, we're not talking about murdering or, you know, molesting a child.
Yeah.
Those are pretty petty things. Right. However, why are they happening? What is happening in our society that is causing these things to happen? In this particular instance, all I could find was apparently there's a shortage of 12-foot skeletons.
Right, right. Yeah. I just,
is that good enough reason to go steal one? No.
No, no.
Is that going to, maybe everybody, if you have a 12 or 14 foot skeleton, put some kind of name on it permanently, put your name on it. Someone
like
magically appears somewhere else in the neighborhood. Hey, guess what? That's mine.
That's a pretty good idea.
It's got my name
on
it.
I like that. That's a really good idea. I didn't think of that. I like that. That's a good one. It's one way to counter this. That's for sure. As we dive into good stories of the day, want to get into this one. A couple from Houston named Chris and Brooke Martin did in vitro 20 years ago to have kids and had 8 extra embryos, so they decided to donate them to help someone else have kids. And they recently got to meet the triplets. They parented the two boys and a girl. They're all 19 now.
Wow.
It's a wild
That's
story.
Awesome.
I don't know what kind of like a Hallmark card you get for that situation, but it is a really cool situation. That is awesome.
That's almost like thank you sperm donor for giving me life.
Right? I mean, I don't know if they make a card for that yet or not, but I mean,
you probably could make one.
It'd be kind of funny. It'd be kind of a funny card to hand a person. A dog in England likes to walk around golf courses and find lost balls, and his owner donates them to secondhand stores. Mm-hmm. In the past 5 years, he's found over 6,000 golf balls.
Whoa.
What a great way, thing to do with that, too, and everything.
Awesome.
That's really smart. That's cool. Finalists for this year's Comedy Wildlife Photography Awards just got announced. They include a standoff penguin rejecting a mate and a zebra in mid-jump and also mid-fart. there are so many of these. They are amazing. They are the definition of a palate cleanser. CNN.com in their travel section has this, but really you can Google it and find it all over the place. There's plenty of places that you can go to check this out. I'm just going to show Melissa a couple of quick
That's
pictures.
That's a visual
here.
Fart.
Yeah, I mean, the dust, everything. You've got it all there. And this penguin.
Oh, he's just got his arms straight out and his nose up in the air. Like, don't talk to me. Just don't talk to me.
So good. There's so
cute.
Many of these. These are great. In this world, it can't hurt to have more and more palate cleansers. So, mm-hmm. Go for that.
Thank you, Animal Kingdom, for providing those for us.
Really.
We appreciate
really.
You.
Appreciate you very much. some other good stories of the day that we wanted to touch on. Actually, before I dive into those, I did want to get into this. Yes, Melissa, thank you so much. You really, I feel bad sometimes that you can see where my brain is going.
SpongeBob the Musical is coming up at the Century Theater in Stevens Point, October 28th and 29th at 7 p.m., October 30th at 2 p.m., November 4th and 5th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at the door, or you can get them in advance at showtickets4u.com. This is put on by SeaWAC and Stevens Point. It's got a full lineup of awesome characters.
All your favorites from SpongeBob.
Well, okay, I meant local actors.
Oh, yes, that too.
But yes, it's got your SpongeBob characters. And apparently, I have heard this, I have not, I don't know, because I haven't seen it, the musical is way better than the cartoon.
It's
like, way better.
Especially to adults.
Yes.
They got some big-time artists to do the music
for this.
Songs
by David Bowie, Tom Kenny, and Andy Paley. Additional lyrics by Jonathan Colton. So,
Brian Adams did some of the music for this.
Okay.
I mean, there's all kinds of great artists.
Cyndi Lauper, John Legend,
yes.
Panic at the Disco, Plain White Tees, They Might Be Giants.
They all did music
Flaming
for
Lips.
The, yeah. I mean, just cool. An amazing group of artists
Yolanda
that
Adams.
Put the music into this.
Sarah Bareilles? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love her.
And I found out thanks to, and I want to send a special shout out to Theo, who is going to be playing SpongeBob, Nick, who's playing Patrick, and Amber, who is playing Sally, who joined Seth and I for our first inaugural episode of The Director's Cut, which we are just
awesome.
Finalizing right now. We'll have it for you this Sunday.
Cool.
We'll talk more about that later, but they joined us. We got to talk about this. So much fun. Sounds like such a great time. A really cool time. Cannot encourage you guys to get to this concert or get your tickets for this fast enough.
Yes,
sure,
and I know they
that.
Have a fabulous set that was designed
yes.
and built by Christopher Bongan.
A big shout out to him
yeah.
and the whole cast. Break a leg, you guys. Have a great run. That's going to be a really fun one.
Yes.
We'll tell you more about when you can hear that interview later in the week here. But yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Also wanted to mention programming-wise, a little bit later today at 7:05, Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Join us for that at 7:05 every Tuesday. And just a couple more good stories of the day. A 2022 Mustang Shelby worth $112,000 just raised over $1 million at a charity auction for hurricane relief.
Oh, nice.
Most of the money came from two people. A guy paid $400,000 but gave the car back. Then it was resold for another $300,000.
Whew. Well. Nice.
That is really, that's the definition of charity right there.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a new, brand new car and then you're
Give
giving
it back.
Yeah, wow. That's A YouTuber named Mark Roper just posted a third installment of his obstacle course for squirrels.
I've seen these.
It's called Backyard School Olympic, Squirrel Olympics 3.0. And it was the top trending video on YouTube last week. It also was a very funny thing to
They're
watch.
They're pretty cute.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's impressive what he's done.
Yeah, yeah. A 65-year-old guy spent 3 years creating a full-body floating suit made out of 1,150 wine corks. Also, he could surprise his family with it during a recent trip to Lake Michigan.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He thought they'd think he was nuts, but they loved it. There's a video of them trying, them all trying it out themselves. It kind of backfired a little bit because he did it for comedic effect. And like, to look how silly I am.
And then they were all just like, cool, I want to try.
Everybody was impressed with his creativity, like that he was able to do this and stuff.
And that he drank all that wine.
Right, yes, I'm sure. That's definitely one of the more impressive parts of this. You know, we don't want that
Why
to get lost
in this. Upgrade to box wine is beyond me, but you know, if he needed the corks, I mean,
you're so right. Like, I might have actually been able to go through this, get to this sooner.
He could have done it with the bladders inside of the wine box.
Right, that's the first thing I was thinking. Like the float,
a submarine.
Yeah. Oh, I love the idea of him hearing this and like that never occurred to him. And like
next. Next project.
Just one big moment for him where he's just sitting there afterwards like, go! Oh, why didn't I think of that? Stick around, everybody. We got Morning Magazine coming up in part one. Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce is going to join us.
Awesome.
In part two, Jessica from the Family Center.
Wonderful.
Looking forward to both of those conversations.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today, Mel. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow, I believe, we got you and Seth in. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the gang together tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. And who knows what we'll get into. You put the three of us in
the room. We still got to talk about our costumes.
I think we're going to finalize our costume tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think that's something we all agree to.
Avocado toast.
Huh. Interesting. Another good option. Okay. We got a couple of them to talk about. See what we decide tomorrow. Join us for the morning show starting at 7 and stick around for Morning Magazine. Mel, have a good day.
Yeah, you too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.